I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
100 years, 100 champions.
The Packers were crowned world champions in the gelid confines of their own arena.
A century of football is the backdrop for this NFL season.
Riggins, he's going to go all the way.
A centennial celebration of the ghosts and the goats.
Montana launches it for the end zone.
The NFL at 100. What will happen next?
Oh, my God. Tyree just goes up for it like a basketball player.
It's 150 years of college football as new national powers emerge.
Hodgson throws for a touchdown with 1 second to go.
Superstars are dominating Saturdays like never before.
Jake wants to throw corner route to the right.
I think, yeah, touchdown.
Boy, you can't throw that football any better, Jake Fromm.
Find out every week. It's Sunday Morning Football with your host, T.A., only on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Welcome inside another edition of Sunday Morning Football, everybody. Today is the day we break down everything that happened in college football on a Saturday and preview what should happen today on an NFL Sunday. And we're so glad you're with us on a fine Sunday morning. We've got so much to get to. All this year celebrating NFL 100, a century of the National Football League, we have had Super Bowl champions and Pro Football Hall of Famers. Today is no different. Two-time Super Bowl champion Lawrence Tynes is going to join us. The kicker for the New York Giants in 07 and 2011, who kicked that team into the Super Bowl with two clutch overtime kickoffs, or field goals rather, to drive them to the Super Bowl each of those years, one in the frigid confines of Lambeau Field, one at a sloppy Candlestick Park. Lawrence Tynes will join us as we discuss Daniel Jones, a new era of the New York Giants, and some of the kicking woes around the NFL and more. So he'll join us coming up later on in this hour. Also, we will discuss Wisconsin if they eliminated themselves from the college football playoff conversation, Jalen Ramsey and a bad look in L.A., and whether Jason Garrett's hot seat becomes a fireable offense a little bit later on tonight. All of that coming up this morning, plus your Vegas virtuoso as we look at today's NFL lines and your excessive celebration, the best play-by-play calls of Saturday's college football. All of that stuffed into the next 2 hours, and any of the football you want to get into, questions, comments, complaints, concerns, rants, hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, you can hit me up, as always, DA on CBS. We've got to get into Tom Brady being upset at the media. We've got to jump into Tua Tagovailoa's injury. And once again, Michigan faltering against an elite foe. We begin with your Sunday Gunslinger.
In football's Wild West, he shoots from the hip.
We need men like him to make towns safe for decent people.
DA is the Sunday Gunslinger.
When you have to shoot, shoot, don't talk.
All right, let's do it.
We know the record. We know the history. We know the past when it comes to Jim Harbaugh, the Michigan Wolverines, and their rivals. Year number 5 of the Wolverines under Harbaugh, they have never played in a Big Ten championship game. Season number 5, how long is it going to take? Harbaugh simply cannot beat top 10 opponents. Year number 5 at Michigan, and Harbaugh had another chance to finally slay the Dragon against a top 10 opponent, this time on the road at Happy Valley. And once again, the Wolverines under Harbaugh could not finish. Now, in many ways, this was a different Michigan loss because, boy, were they gutty at the end. And Shea Patterson, who had been so underwhelming all season long, actually drove the Wolverines into position to tie the game and actually had set his receiver up perfectly to catch the game-tying touchdown. But at the end of the day, what unravels Michigan yet again? Falling behind by three touchdowns in the game, forcing them to frantically come all the way back. And that is once again a black eye for Harbaugh. Why aren't the Wolverines ready for a moment like this? It's Michigan, IMG Sports Network.
Patterson calls for the ball, gets the ball, back to throw. Pressure coming, looks, throws, ball is caught. No throws,
no!
Drop. Oh no, that was a score. Ronnie Fowle couldn't hold on. Patterson bought enough time. Ronnie Fowle had his man on his back. He just couldn't hold on.
Patterson was great in that final drive, and Patterson has taken a lot of criticism this year, and rightfully so. He was great on that drive and put it right in the breadbasket. But why does it take Michigan needing a 21-point comeback in this game just to tie? It once again felt like when Michigan got disassembled by Wisconsin earlier this season against the best opponents, just simply not ready to play. Self-inflicted wounds, setting Penn State up for short fields, turnovers turning into touchdowns. And man, you're going on the road to take on a top 10 opponent at Happy Valley with 110,000 people throwing white pom-poms in the air, and you're going to fall behind by three touchdowns and think you're going to win? You're dead. You're dead in the water. And that's the problem with Michigan. It's not Harbaugh's fault that his wide receiver drops the game-tying touchdown to the end zone. It's not his quarterback's fault on that drive, but it's a franchise, it's a program that keeps putting itself behind the eight ball, unnecessarily so, when it plays its best opponents. In the SEC, it has seemed like Alabama, LSU on a collision course for supremacy in the SEC West. Now, perhaps Auburn would have a say in that, but boy, everybody looking forward to this Alabama-LSU game in a couple of weeks. And we thought it was going to be Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa. And yet yesterday, last night, against Tennessee, Alabama's quarterback suffers a pretty ugly ankle injury. And now the question is Tua comes out of this game last night and does not come back to play, how long is it going to take for Tua Tagovailoa to be back under center for the Crimson Tide?
You know, Tua will probably be out for a week. I don't know the extent. He's got a twisted ankle, but I think it's probably not going to be able to play for this next game. So, you know, I know he's going to get another MRI and all that in the morning, and then they'll decide exactly what to do, you know, from there.
I think that's really wishful thinking from Nick Saban, because Tagovailoa is young, so maybe he'll heal quickly. He hasn't had injuries to maybe that specific injury before, but remember, he dealt with ankle and leg injuries last year, second half of the season, going into the SEC title game. And they play Arkansas next up, so that's basically a bye anyway. You might as well play Arkansas State or Northwest Arkansas at this point in time. But can you just assume that it's going to be 1 week, he'll be fine, he'll be back after that? They've got Arkansas on a bye before the LSU game. Is Tua going to be 100% for the Alabama-LSU matchup? Is Tua going to be 100% the rest of the way? Because remember last year when Tua was not 100%, Alabama looked far too vulnerable in that SEC title game against Georgia. It was only because Jalen Hurts came in that the Bulldogs could not close. This is a huge injury. And I don't want to say that Alabama's in trouble because they're still Alabama. That's still Nick Saban. And I don't know how long Tua's going to be out. But let's not sit here today and just take Nick Saban at his word that Tua's going to be back. He's going to be out a week and he'll be fine after that. To me, that feels like trying to quiet the hysteria right now, but in reality, the injury could be much more severe. in the NFL. The New England Patriots are undefeated, rolling right along. What could go wrong for the Pats? They play in a division yet again with two of the worst teams, or at least one of the worst teams in NFL history, and that would be the Miami Dolphins and the New York Jets, only now showing life this season. Now, the Bills look good, but the Patriots probably cruising yet again to an AFC East Division Championship, probably a bye, and maybe even the number one seed more than likely in the AFC now that Patrick Mahomes looks injured, is injured. So what could go wrong in New England? Well, curiously, a Netflix comedy starring Paul Rudd has a cameo appearance by Tom Brady. I wish I was joking about this. And in this cameo, shot in front of a green screen, Tom Brady comes out of a, wait for it, massage parlor. And Paul Rudd makes a joke. How you feeling? Is this your first time? No, feeling great. It's number six. All right, now you might say, well, Brady, not necessarily a shot at Robert Kraft, but it certainly feels like it could be interpreted that way, correct? And here is Tom Brady lecturing the media, of all people.
I think that was taken out of context, just like you're taking it out of context and trying to make it a story for yourself, which is has a negative connotation to it, which I don't appreciate. It was meant to be something different than that. So the fact that it's a distraction or you're bringing it up is not something I want to be talking about. I think it's this type of media atmosphere that, you know, you create, you know, the blame and shame media atmosphere that's kind of percolated for a while. I think there's a lot of things that are said that are taken out of context that, you know, you choose to make a headline of as opposed to understand what it's actually about.
The blame and shame media. I feel like Tom and Giselle gripe about the media over dinner and come up with these phrases. Yeah, Tom, it's a blame and shame media. You're right, Giselle. You're right, honey, it is. Blame and shame, I always say blame and shame. This is hysterical because, okay, perhaps these were producers of this show looking to garner attention. Maybe Brady didn't know it was going to be filmed in front of that type of massage parlor, I guess. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he's dense enough to think that it wasn't supposed to be this way, wasn't supposed to come off that way. Maybe he had no idea it was going to be. It was going to be a shot perceived at his owner. But beyond that, even beyond that, if you can believe the best case scenario, which is Brady had no intention of taking a shot and had no idea it could be interpreted as a shot, Brady scolding the media is the height of ridiculous. For 20 years, that media has protected Tom Brady in that town. For 20 years, they have made every possible excuse. For 20 years, they have carried his water. For 20 years, they have defiantly wagged their finger at anybody that would dare say, Brady getting old? What? Brady takes less money. Brady is the best teammate ever. Brady's the most clutch ever. Brady's never had weapons. Brady's, of course, better than Joe Montana. I mean, for 20 years, this media has assembled at his locker every week to genuflect at the altar of Tom Brady. I sit here with a candle in front of me that has Brady as a saint. It is the St. Thomas candle. This might as well be burned at every Wednesday press conference with Tom Brady. He's never been asked a tough question in his life for 20 years. And now, suddenly, he wants to wag his finger and scold the media. How dare you? The blame and shame media. Tom, you've been treated with the ultimate kid gloves for 2 decades. And now? You know, I knew you guys were always unfair. Nobody has ever benefited from better local media than Tom Brady. Light a candle for St. Tom. He's going through some really difficult times. The blame and shame media, Tom. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4-CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You can hit us up on Twitter. Hit me up on Twitter. I'll read through those tweets today. DA on CBS. Our favorite segment of the day every single week comes your way next. Excessive celebration. Your best play-by-play calls of Saturday's madness in college football, and that includes a crazy upset by Lovie Smith's Fighting Illini. We've got that call. You'll have to hear it coming up here next. DA, Sunday Morning Football, CBS Sports Radio.
NFL action begins next Sunday with the NFL Today, followed by a full slate of regional games. You'll say, you saw it on CBS Sports.
It's Sunday Morning Football with DA.
And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more in car insurance. Every single week, we are here with you on Sunday Morning Football, the best 2 hours of football coverage, we believe, anywhere on sports radio. We go over what happened on Saturdays in college football and what could happen today in the NFL. And there's so many ways you can listen to the show, of course, across the great CBS Sports Radio Network and all of our terrestrial affiliates. Also on Sirius XM, Channel 206. And you can listen to us on your phone easy enough. You can tell your smart speaker, play CBS Sports Radio, or on your phone, your tablet, your PC. You can always stream the radio.com app, the cbssportsradio.com webpage, or watch us, the simulcast going on at watchda.com. Saturdays are meant for madness. Saturdays are meant for chaos. Saturdays are meant for the craziness. And yesterday, we got it. It is time for the best play-by-play calls of the college football Saturday.
The soundtrack of college football chaos. The announcers losing their minds.
We've got a bunch of folks down there.
He caught it.
It's excessive celebration.
It's going to be caught. It's a touchdown. And the Gators have won the game. I can't believe what I just saw. And this place is an insane asylum.
We begin to the Big Ten. You know, Illinois is bottom feeder of the conference. Wisconsin undefeated, a top 10 team of the country. And it felt like this would really be the year that Scotty had a really good shot at getting to the college football playoffs, something that a lot of us thought could happen last year. They were finally delivering on this year. And so here was the easy, almost a homecoming game for Wisconsin. They were at Illinois in Champaign. That was Illinois' homecoming, but I mean, this was what, a 4-touchdown spread, 3-touchdown spread that Wisconsin was supposed to win by. And instead, some blunders, some turnovers in the fourth quarter leads to Illinois lining up for a potential game-winning field goal as the seconds ticked off the clock. Here's how it sounded on Learfield, IMG College Sports.
4 seconds left. Wisconsin 23, Illinois 21. The Badgers have no timeouts. They can't stop it. McCourt for the win. In the air. It is up. And it is good.
Yes! Good!
Let's go!
Upset.
Let's go, baby!
Upset in Champaign.
That's amazing. Badgers radio on the call. The Badgers were Illinois radio on the call. The Badgers were a 31-point favorite. And now, what happens to Wisconsin? They will tumble out of the top 10. We'll see what the rankings put them as. But beyond just winning their side of the Big Ten, they've got a trip to Columbus next week. So they already had to make their way through the Iowa game and the Minnesota game, and the Gophers in the final game of the regular season would have a chance to knock off Wisconsin to get to a Big Ten title game. But now Wisconsin's got to worry about losing another game here and taking themselves completely out of the mix for that final game against Minnesota to end the season. That was a crushing loss. We'll talk more about whether this completely eliminates Wisconsin from any playoff conversation coming up in hour number two. But props to Lovie Smith, who looked like he was just a dead man walking, a program with no life and a mistaken hire. And yet here they are knocking off Wisconsin on a glorious day for the Illini. Now, in the Big 12, Texas is a power. K Kansas is the dregs of the conference. And yet, here's gambling Les Miles, who late in this game goes for two and the lead instead of the extra point of the tie. Texas gets the ball back a little over a minute to play, and now they've got to drive down the field trailing against little old Kansas, and they line up for a field goal. Here's how it sounded from Craig Way on Learfield, IMG.
From 33 yards out, good snap and hold. Dicker's kick is up, and the kick is good! It's good! Dicker, the kicker, comes through again, and the Longhorns win this one 50-48.
Dicker, the kicker, wins it for Texas 50-48, but let's really pick this thing apart. I mean, we thought that Texas's defense was improved after what happened in the Red River Shootout, and they gave up 48 points to Kansas, 48 points to an FCS team, 48 points. I mean, I know that Les has taken over the program and maybe they got a little bit of life. Carter Stanley, the Jayhawks quarterback, had 310 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions. Texas, I mean, the Big 12 gets this rap as all offense, no defense. It's kind of a clown show. It's circus football. And then the Big 12 keeps saying, no, 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 that's not true. No, the reputation's not fair. You know, look, Oklahoma has a better defense this year. Well, here's Texas giving up 48 points to Kansas. My God, Kansas had 190 yards on the ground from Puka Williams. They put up 600 yards of offense against the Longhorns. 600. I mean, sorry, but UT deserved to lose that game. UT deserved to lose to Kansas. At home in Austin! That's an unforgivable sin. And give less credit? Maybe KU is a little bit of juice? But you've got to look at that UT defense and say, that is humiliating. And finally, it took six overtimes. But a crazy game of the ACC as Virginia Tech trying to outlast North Carolina. Here is John Lazor on Learfield, IMG College.
Can they find a play to get the job done? Hokies break a huddle. Speed to the line. Patterson in the gun. Turner and Hazleton right. Snap it to Quincy. Designed run. Patterson at the goal. Is it there? Touchdown! Virginia Tech Hokies! Sweet, sweet victory in Blacksburg.
Well, that is how Lane Stadium used to sound. That is pretty cool as Vatek gets the 43-41 win in six freaking overtime. They got so far into this game, they just went for two. Not like after a touchdown they went for two. The drive is just two-point conversions. That's how deep into overtime they got in this game. Justin Fuente was on major hot seat alert. And he comes out with a victory, and now Vatek has stabilized its season a little bit at 5-2, 2-2 in the conference. They desperately needed that. But, man, did you see parts of this overtime? There was four consecutive missed field goals in this. Four straight missed field goals. I mean, in overtime, this was like third or fourth overtime or something, Vatek's drives were four plays, 2 yards, missed field goal. UNC, seven plays, 8 yards, missed field goal. UNC, four plays, lost 2 yards, missed field goal. And then Vatek, four plays, 1 yard, missed field goal. Some really weighty offense in this game between the Hokies and the Heels. And that is your excessive celebration. All season long here, we've been celebrating NFL 100 on Sunday Morning Football. And I've had some great guests. Jeff Bostic joined us last week. He was a three-time Super Bowl champion for the Hogs in Washington. We had Rod Woodson, Pro Football Hall of Famer. We had Torrey Holt, who's a member of the All-Decade team of the greatest show on turf of the Rams. Torrey Smith, who has two Super Bowl championships as well, catching huge passes from Joe Flacco and Nick Foles with the Ravens and the Eagles Super Bowl championships. Brian Mitchell, one of the greatest punt returners and kick returners ever, all have joined us this season on the show. Coming up here next, another two-time Super Bowl champion who kicked two of the biggest kicks in NFC Championship game history at Frigid Lambeau to win and at Sloppy Candlestick to win. Former New York Giant Lawrence Tynes will join us coming up here next. And interestingly, he has some very hot takes on Tua Tagovailoa.
So I want to ask him about that coming up here next. DA with you, Sunday Morning Football, CBS Sports Radio, standing by with your headlines and everything that happened yesterday in college football and the craziness of Game 6 of the ALCS.
You have a reservation for year-round excitement with CBS Sports. Your ticket to action.
It's Sunday Morning Football with DA.
It's always wonderful to be with you on a Sunday morning. These are the two best 2 hours in college and NFL football coverage on sports radio in our mind. Every week we do this 10 a.m. until noon Eastern time here on CBS Sports Radio. And you can watch it as well at watchda.com. That's available on any device, anywhere, watchda.com. And you can check that out for free on your tablet, on your PC, on your desktop, on your cell phone, watchda.com. Reports are that the Kansas City Chiefs expect Patrick Mahomes back 3 weeks or less. 3 weeks or less, which seems certifiably insane. I mean, they almost brought the cart out for the guy. He has a kneecap out of place. They got to snap it back in on the field, and they're going to have him come back in just 3 weeks or less. I would hope this, that the Chiefs' priority is not getting him back sooner, but instead getting him back right. Because in that division, I'm sorry, you cannot convince me that the Raiders have staying power. And I'm not saying Matt Moore can keep you afloat for very long, but there is no need to rush Pat Mahomes back. At this point, you have the crown jewel of the NFL. You have the next. Patrick Mahomes is in year number 3 of his career. And if we project this out simply to a reasonable age, not even a Tom Brady age, but 38, 39 years old, that means you have a 15-year run ahead of you with Pat Mahomes. At least 13 more good seasons. Why would you ever compromise that? I know you've got a really good team. You're coming off an AFC Championship game loss. D Ford! Line up onside! The Patriots getting lucky by winning the coin toss. Had the Patriots lost the coin toss, we know the Chiefs are going right down the field and scoring. That much was obvious. They were not stopping Patrick Mahomes at that point in time, but such is life. I know you are waiting for that next crack at it, but this is about more than a 3-week run. This is about more than 2019. This is about a bigger picture and protecting the crown jewel of the NFL. There is absolutely no reason to be forcing or rushing Mahomes back unless you are absolutely 100% certain it is not going to come back and disrupt his long-term capabilities. I've talked about this in the past, but I think it's worth bringing up again. Mahomes has so many similarities to Dan Marino. Marino did not come out of Pitt and automatically become the number one pick in the draft. There were question marks about Dan Marino. Maybe they were drug related, maybe they were otherwise. But Marino slipped into the 20s. When Mahomes came out of college, despite all of that production, there was the idea, well, he's an air raid quarterback. He's a Big 12 quarterback. Those guys don't translate. And so he did not go 1 or 2. This is a guy that watched Mitchell Trubisky go and have the Bears trade up for him as the first quarterback taken in that draft. His first season is not the starter, just like in Miami for the Dan Marino Dolphins. Marino gets in midway through that season, and suddenly people go, oh, man, he's really good. Mahomes gets in the final regular season game of the year, and people go, oh, he's really good. Year number 2, their first full season as starters, Marino rewrites the record books. More than 5,000 yards passing, 48 touchdowns in 1984, a time when that absolutely could not, would not, should not happen. Last year, Mahomes, again, the NFL MVP, and we're going, what are we watching? We've never seen anything like this, exactly the way that Marino was viewed in 1984. Marino gets to a Super Bowl in his first year. Loses, I'm sorry, his first full year as a starter. Loses in 1984. Gets back to the AFC Championship game in 1985. And we're assuming, well, we're going to see Marino in Super Bowls for the rest of our lives. He's that good. Never gets back. Only goes back to one AFC Championship game ever after 1985. I sincerely hope that Mahomes is not on that trajectory. But remember, Marino also dealt with Achilles problems, leg issues throughout his career. And it limited his mobility and limited just how sparkling he could be. Health and wellness is better. Surgery is better today. Mahomes is far more athletic now than Marino ever was, even in his pre-injury prime. But the idea is that it just seemed like this guy is going to be in the Super Bowl every single season. Don't worry, and you just never know. I mean, I think we probably would have assumed that about Aaron Rodgers in 2010. Well, he'll be in the Super Bowl almost every year. But nothing is a guarantee. Nothing is for certain. And so for the Chiefs, instead of coming anywhere close to rushing him back, instead of wanting him back so that the season doesn't get away from you, look, you are poised to be in a division race until December, no matter what happens. The Raiders aren't going to run and hide in this division. The Vic Fangio, Joe Flacco Broncos are a nightmare. And the Chargers are nowhere near what they were last season. You can afford to be conservative. And if that just means you're the four seed because you win the AFC West at 9-7, that's fine. Because you'll take a healthy, ready Mahomes going into wild card weekend versus a compromised Mahomes just to try to get 11 or 12 wins or something like that. Projections that he could be back in 2 weeks just seem like, why even worry? Why even push that? He already was dealing with an ankle injury. Let him get fully healed. This is about the bigger picture here. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. On Twitter, DA on CBS. We played that audio earlier in the morning of Tom Brady scolding the media for taking his appearance in a Netflix comedy with Paul Rudd out of context. He's coming out of a massage parlor. I think you guys can connect the dots on why people might think that it was poking fun at his owner. Upside Down Mike tweets in, the blame and shame take is BS from Brady. He got paid to do a part. He got a script that more than likely said, Tom walks out of massage parlor. And he still agreed to do it. What a fraud. Take a lap. All I know is having worked in Boston, been in that locker room, and know a lot of the media in Boston, I've got a lot of respect for the job that is done there because it's not easy to cover the Patriots. They give you almost nothing. They stonewall you at every turn, and they don't want you anywhere near their players or their organization. They do it basically out of necessity because that's what contractually they have to do. But for 20 years, the Boston media at large has been forgiving about that. As long as the Patriots won, it really didn't matter. There was no real room for criticism. Most, not all, but most. And I know everybody that's in that locker room every single day plays by the rules. I know it because I've seen it. I lived it. And the Brady protection in Boston is otherworldly. You'll never see that anywhere else. And in many ways, understandably so, because of what he's done, what he has meant. But for him to now wag his finger and say, don't do this. How dare you? It reeks of entitlement, and it reeks of living in an ivory tower, and it reeks of a guy that doesn't live a normal life. He's not a bad guy, but Tom Brady lives in a bubble. Brady is married to a woman that lives in a bubble. He lives in the ivory tower, and the first time in 20 years anybody dares question a decision that he would make, suddenly, you're taking this totally out of context. How dare you? How dare you? And you're going, oh, man. You know, you've gotten good press for 20 years, and the first time somebody wants to question something is, oh, they're treating me so unfairly. You know, that's the height of entitlement. Don't tell Patriots fans that, of course. They live in their own delusional snow globe of a world, but it's the reality. I mean, if you were on the outside looking in, if Patriots fans were on the outside looking in of this happening to, say, Aaron Rodgers or Peyton Manning or Ben Roethlisberger? Oh, you can only imagine the criticism. But as most fan bases, the Patriots fans play by a second set of rules, and everything that their guys do is above reproach, and everything that everybody else does is obviously weak-minded, obviously hypocritical. But Brady wagging his finger at the media, of all people? Whew, man, talk about the height of entitlement. Nobody's been protected more. Yesterday in college football, that Wisconsin upset was a devastating blow for their playoff chances. So we'll talk about that coming up here in hour number two, because I want to tackle what that means to the Big Ten and what that means to the college football playoff rankings. The people that are burying Clemson, I think, are far too premature in doing so. I realize that Clemson does not look like Clemson at the quarterback position as they did last year. But that doesn't mean they're not still a dominant program that can win the college football playoff. Look, I think Ohio State is the best team in the country. And Ohio State winning a national championship this year would not be surprising in the least. But Clemson is more than likely going to run the table yet again and have zero losses going into the college football playoff. They're going to run roughshod as long as they play a B effort, and sometimes a C effort will do it, in the ACC. They're going to win the ACC championship, and then you're going to ask yourselves, are you really going to keep out a 13-0 Clemson team? And even a 13-0 Clemson team, is that going to be the fourth team in the playoff? I mean, a 13-0 defending national champion Clemson Tigers team is going to make the playoff. And then you ask this question. Do you want to play Clemson? I mean, I think the thing is, people look at Trevor Lawrence and all of the hype that he had. And you know that I just did this show from Clemson and our affiliates 105.5 The Roar last week from Clemson. So I got to go down for the first time to Death Valley and see Clemson take on Florida State, and they just absolutely waxed them. But the only thing that doesn't look like Clemson last year is the quarterback. They still run the football ridiculously well. Do you realize that Travis Etienne had 192 yards yesterday against Louisville? 192. They can run the football. They can play defense. They can get after the quarterback. They don't have a defensive line that's all first-round draft picks like last year's defensive line. But they got studs of the secondary. Justin Ross is nasty at wide receiver. And they still have one of the best coaches, if not the best coach in football. They've won two championships in the last 3 years. And, okay, Trevor Lawrence has taken a step back. He's turned the football over too much. He hasn't looked as dominant as he did last year. But aside from that, I mean, how different is Clemson than last year's Clemson team? They're going to roll into the college football playoff at 13-0, having won, what, 29 straight games or something? I think bury Clemson at your own peril, because would you take tomorrow in a playoff game Ryan Day or Dabo Swinney? Tomorrow in a playoff game, would you take Oklahoma or Clemson? Tomorrow in a playoff game, would you take Georgia, who lost to South Carolina, or Clemson? I mean, I think it's far too early to bury the Tigers as not worthy somehow of the college football playoff. When we come back here on the show, as I mentioned, Wisconsin's upset is a bad deal in Badgerland today. We'll discuss what it means. Jalen Ramsey in a bad look and Jason Garrett in the hot seat. And all straight ahead, DA, CBS Sports Radio. This is Sunday Morning Football.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.